they produce and how they get married and what do they live and whatnot, what attracts them and how do they get into you and things like that. But now we need to talk on how to protect yourself. The Prophet Ali says in this hadith reported by Bukhari. The hadith is reported by Bukhari. 7 ajwa dates. Well, the ajwa dates. See the picture? Ajwa dates, they are everywhere. You can find them. They're pretty expensive, but if you can afford them, it's good. If you cannot afford them, then any dates will be fine, inshallah ta'ala. Any date will be fine, especially dates from Medina. If not, any date could be fine. But ajwa, it's more preferable. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ mentions ajwa in Bukhari. Every morning before breakfast, 7 ajwa dates. The Prophet says, whosoever eats these 7 ajwa dates every morning, shaitan will never get to this person. This is a prescription from a drugstore pharmacy called Muhammad Rasulullah. He's giving you the prescription now. 7 ajwa dates. No shaitan can harm you that day. Remain in the state of wudu as much as possible. Like Bilal radiallahu anhu arda, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was raised, and then he saw Bilal trying to rush with him, subhanallah, and to enter Jannah before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he says, "Ya Bilal, why are you doing that?" When he came back, he says, "Bilal, I saw you rushing with me, trying to go first into Jannah." He says, "What is it that you're doing so special, O Bilal?" He says, "Nothing, Ya Rasulullah, except that every time I make wudu, I follow it up with 2 rak'ah. Every time I make wudu, I follow it up with 2 rak'ah." He likes to be in the state of wudu, Bilal radiallahu anhu arda, and likewise all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu arda. To remain in the state of wudu as much as possible, especially at night before you go to sleep, if you can. Remember that person, right? I told you the story last week when he was reciting, he was performing ruqya, and then the jinni spoke and he says, "I will come and harm you." And then he couldn't harm him. And then the jinni came back and he says, "Yes, I couldn't because you recited Ayatul Kursi," but at the same time he was in the state of wudu. Before he went to sleep, he was in the state of wudu. The Prophet ﷺ says in this hadith, Sahih also in Bukhari and Muslim, whosoever sleeps with the state of wudu, so he performs ablution before going to bed, an angel will be guarding him until that person wakes up. You make wudu, and you recite Ayatul Kursi, and you recite, we'll talk about some others, but wudu. I'm reminding myself too, huh? Wudu. You'll have an angel sleeping by you, or not sleeping, but standing by you all night, you know, guarding you. The help of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Adhere to the congregational prayers. Safeguarding. The 5 daily prayers. On time. Fajr, on time. Fajr, on time. Not at 9 or 10 or whenever you wake up. Not combining Fajr and Isha together or Fajr and Dhuhr together. La. The 5 daily prayers. Remember, this is safeguarding. Because you don't want to leave any weak points for the shaitan to come and get you. If he finds any weak point, that's his opportunity. Don't give him that chance. 5 daily prayers on time. In jama'ah for those who definitely can, except those who have udhr shar'i, excuse that goes in accordance with the sharia. Qiyam al-layl, as much as you can. The night prayer. The night prayer would definitely, inshallah ta'ala, also help safeguarding you and protecting you. Allah loves those wake up in the midst of the night and pray and maybe shed some tears, asking Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive him. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla comes down in a way that befits His majesty, as reported by Bukhari and Muslim and Imam Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi, narrated by Ibn Mas'ud and also Abu Hurairah. And there's so many hadith. This is a continuous hadith, subhanAllah, the chain of this hadith. Allah Azza wa Jalla comes down in a way that befits His majesty, and looks at those who pray at night and those who make istighfar at night, asking for forgiveness, to give him and to forgive him and to grant their dua. Qiyam al-layl. Seek refuge in Allah before entering the washroom. In what leg we said last week, how you enter the washroom?
Left.
Left. Left. How about singing in the washroom? Taking a bath and and singing. You like doing that?
No.
Who likes doing that? Singing. Singing in the washroom. You don't like doing that? MashaAllah, barakAllah. That's good. Enter with the left foot. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal khaba'ith. And you come out with the right foot. Na'am. Don't talk. Do your thing and come out. Some people, they go to sleep inside. They forget themselves. No, you just go do your thing and come out. Recite the Prophet's dua. This is in Abu Dawood, classified Sahih by Sheikh Al-Albani rahmatullah alayh. Reciting the Prophet's dua when getting married. You hold her like you put your hand on her forehead. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma jabaltaha alayhi wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma jabaltaha alayhi. You ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for her good and you seek Allah's refuge from her evil. Right? This is when you first get married. You decide this. And you perform talaqah with your spouse after the marriage contract. So when she gets to meet you, khalas, after the contract, you with your wife, you know, you come, you see her, you recite, you know, the dua, and then you, you know, do the talaqah together. And then you bring maybe a cup of milk, sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. You drink, you give her to drink, and, you know, you drink from it. I was telling this, you know, once in my seminar, somebody came to me and says, "Brother, how, what would I do now? I got married, but I didn't do all this." I said, "My brother, the train has passed then." Then he goes back and says, "No, sir, I have three more trains to go." The next day he came and he says, "I'm sorry," in public. He had problems at night. When he says three trains, he came back, he was apologizing. All right, so all these things, inshallah, will safeguard you and protect you with the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Recite the dua before intimacy. Bismillah. Allahumma jannibna ash-shaytan wa jannibi ash-shaytana ma razaqtana. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. You seek Allah Azza wa Jal's help. And you seek Allah's refuge from the shaytan. Would you please, if you don't mind, brothers and sisters, turn off your cell phones. Yani, this is getting ridiculous. Allahumma najannibna ash-shaytan wa jannibi ash-shaytana ma razaqtana. Recite Ayatul Kursi before going to sleep. Recite Ayatul Kursi before going to sleep. Reciting after a Fajr prayer. If you have the book, Hisn al-Muslim, it's a good book. The Fortress of the Muslim. So I'm taking some, you know, from there and some from other ahadith and some from other books, you know, summarizing everything for you, inshallah ta'ala, and giving it to you in this golden platter. So just use it. Reciting after after the Fajr prayer, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, 100 times. In Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says, whosoever said this 100 times after the salat, after the Fajr prayer, that day he will not be harmed by shaitan. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, 100 times. Versus the 10 times when you say, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, yuhyi wa yumeet, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. That's another dua, that's another hadith. That's only 10 times. This one is 100 times. Reciting the dua before entering the masjid. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأعوذ بالله العظيم ووجهك الكريم وسلطانه القديم من الشيطان الرجيم. This is in Abu Dawood. Classified as Sahih by Sheikh Al-Albani رحمة الله عليه. When you enter the masjid, You say, أعوذ بالله العظيم ووجهه الكريم وسلطانه القديم من الشيطان الرجيم. All seeking refuge from the shaitan. Seeking refuge in Allah Azza wa Jalla from the shaitan. Safeguard. Reciting the morning and evening du'as. Bismillah الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء هو السميع العليم. Three times. This is reported by Tirmidhi. Bismillah الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. Three times every morning and every evening. Every morning after Salat al-Fajr and in the evening maybe after Salat al-Asr. Right? You recite this dua. The Prophet ﷺ also says that whosoever says this three times a day, meaning in the morning and the evening, he will not be approached or harmed by the shaitan. So these are all ad'iyya. One might tell me, so if I just say one, would that be sufficient? The Prophet gave us, alhamdulillah, myriads of dua. What would you want just to maybe focus on one? Recite all these ad'iyya that the Prophet ﷺ has given us. As much as you can. And as many as you know. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء والسميع العليم. Three times a day. After, you know, in the morning, before, after the Fajr, and in the evening, maybe after the Asr or after the Maghrib. Reciting the dua after leaving your home. بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. This is also reported by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, classified Sahih by Sheikh Al-Albani. Whosoever recites this, again the Prophet says that person will be protected by Allah Azza wa Jalla and cannot be harmed by the shaitan. Bismillah, you put your trust in Allah. This is what you do. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. I put my trust in Allah. Delegate my affairs to Allah. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Recite this morning and evening dua. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من شر ما خلق. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من شر ما خلق. Against the shayateen. It's all against the shayateen. This is reported by Muslim. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من شر ما خلق. Recite this morning and evening dua. You want me to put it back here? أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من شر ما خلق. طيب. For the next, inshallah ta'ala, maybe 5 to 10 minutes, we'll talk about the cure from the evil eye. But first, before we move to the evil eye, remember this, the safeguarding, you know, that we gave you here. Try to adopt this and try to, you know, adhere to it as much as possible. This is your, you can only be protected if you want to be protected. Give yourself a chance to be protected. Na'am, you know, ask Allah Azza wa Jal for help and guidance and protection, but take the means. And this is from the means, reciting this ad'iyah. Morning, evening, you know, protecting yourself and your family and your kids. And your kids, teach them this ad'iyah. Remember what I said last week, when you come home, Salaamu Alaikum, before you close the door, say Bismillah. Teach that to your kid. Because if you don't say Bismillah, Shaitan will come to your home. And if you don't say Bismillah before they eat, the Shaitan will eat with you as well. So teach your kids this. If you eat with the left hand, Shaitan loves eating. That's how it's been reported in the hadith. That the Shaitan, you know, he eats with the left hand. That's why the Prophet ﷺ says, eat with the right hand. Anything you eat with the left will not go to you. Even there's no barakah, there will not be no barakah put in it. Another thing, by the way, that attracts the shaitan or that the shaitan likes, people walking with one shoe. Or people, you know, staying half in the shade and half in the sun. All in the hadith. This is something that shaitan likes actually. He likes sitting in the shade, you know, half in the shade and half in the sun. Don't do that. Either be all in the shade or all in the sun. And don't only walk with one shoe or one sandal. Either put them both or remove them both. Because the Prophet saw somebody walking with one shoe, he says, this is the walking of the shaitan. He likes doing that. SubhanAllah. They do things that are different than us, in humans. Half in the sun, half in the shade, wearing one shoe, taking things with the left. This is how, you know, this is anything, this is how you could, inshallah ta'ala, try to protect yourself. Let's talk about the evil eye. The evil eye, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says that it is haqq. It is the truth. The evil eye, some people do not believe in something called evil eye. It is haqq. And we'll mention some stories about the evil eye. There was a man, a sahabi, in fact. Who was watching another sahabi taking a bath. And he says, oh, what a beautiful skin he's got. What a beautiful skin that person's got. And then subhanAllah, that person who was taking a bath became sick. And he fell down, right away fell down. And they told the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet told them, he told the man who said those words, who uttered those words, he said, go and take a bath and bring me the water that you took a bath with. He recited some ayat, some verses, which we'll mention inshallah ta'ala, some verses on that water. And then he gave them to the person who got sick. And he told them to wash himself or herself, or himself in this case, it's a sahabi, to wash himself with it. Do you know that you can hit yourself with the evil eye? You see yourself in the mirror and then you say, oh, look at how beautiful and handsome I am. You can hit yourself. You can hit your own baby. My baby, look at my baby, it's so beautiful, it's so, look at those eyes. And you don't say, mashallah, tabarakallah. That's why you have to say, mashallah. When you see something you like, mashallah. Otherwise, you may hit yourself or that person with the evil eye. When you see something you like, say, mashallah. Wallahi, we know this person, and we heard that person. They came and they told me. And once they, you know, she said something, and they came and they told her, subhanAllah, you know, there's a sister who, you made her sick by those comments. She's sick. I mean, we know for sure that this is the evil eye. And the hadith, the Prophet says that you have to take a bath and we have to, you know, and give us that water. She says, no, I'm not going to take no bath. But you, she's sick and, you know, you caused her to be sick. This is, she says, no, I'm not going to do that. The Prophet says in the hadith sahih, this is in Bukhari and Muslim, if you were asked to take a bath for the evil eye, go and do it. He gives you the order. He says, do it. If somebody comes and asks you, because if they know for sure, يعني, and that you caused it to somebody, you hit somebody with this evil eye, and that person, you know, became sick, and then they came asking you for, you know, for that water, for that bath, go and take it, do it. So what are the cure? The one causing this evil eye to take a bath, as I said, from a vessel, and then take this take that water, and to put that water on the person who is sick. This is the story of Sahl ibn Hunayf, as I mentioned. Sahl ibn Hunayf and Amr ibn Rabi'ah, reported by Imam Ahmad and Nasa'i, and classified as Sahih by Sheikh al-Albani, and also reported by Ibn Majah. At the end.
Is it the remaining water or the other?
The person takes water with, let's say he takes a bath with some vessel or some bucket of water. And then he whatever remaining of that water, you know, the remains of that water that he takes a bath with, they should put himself, I would go into a bucket, a big bucket, I would put myself, and I would go there and then wash myself with that water. And then use that water in that bucket, and then that's the water I will use to go and wash the person who is sick with. Is that clear? Putting your hands on the sickened person's forehead, again, and recite, Allahumma rabban nas adhi bil ba's ishfi anta shafi la shifa'an illa shifa'an la yughadiru saqaman. This is in Husn al-Muslim. If you can memorize this dua, it's a very important dua. You can even recite it on your children or somebody who is sick. If somebody comes and asks you for ruqya, let's say, you come, you know, and you recite, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, maybe Ayatul Kursi, Al-Fatiha, and then you recite this dua, اللهم رب الناس أذهب البأس إشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. It's all about shifa. Asking Allah Azza wa Jal to provide cure to this person. This is in Bukhari. And put your hand, like I said, in the person's painful area, and recite the three quls: قل والله حد قل عدو برب الفلق قل عدو برب الناس, as reported in Bukhari. This is again from the evil eye. And then also putting your hand on the second person's forehead and reciting Bismillah yubrik is another dua. Bismillah yubrik min kulli da'in yashfik wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad wa min sharri kulli dhi'ayn. Dhi'ayn, al-ayn. Bismillah yubrik min kulli da'in yashfik wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad وَمِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ دَيْعَيْنِ. This is reported by Muslim. And there is another dua which I have kept until the end, that the Prophet ﷺ says, or he used to say and recite on Al-Hasan wal-Husayn. Write it with gold, this dua. It is not on my PowerPoint presentation. Those who are not writing or taking notes, I'm sorry. I keep telling you, please take notes. This is Talib al-Ilm. Talib al-Ilm has always, he goes with a book and a paper and a pen to take notes. This is how we learned al-Ilm. The Prophet ﷺ used to recite this particular dua on Al-Hasan al-Husayn to perform ruqya on them. He used to go and he used to say, touch them, you know, he used to say, "U'idukuma bi kalimati Allahi tammah min kulli shaytanin wa hammah wa min kulli aynin lammah." Let's write it down. I'll write it down. I love them, Yaqi. So I don't want them to miss it. Do we have a... I don't want them to miss this dua. No. You can also position this correctly. All right. No, I will have somebody write it down. You can write the line. أعيدك. سيكون بهذا الشكل توهي في بعض. أعيدك. دوكا كا. يا. بكلماتي. كا. لي. ماتي. بكلمات الله التامة شد in both تامة and شد there too. No, yes. من كل just no e, just only, just without just the okay. شد هي وعيدك بكلمات الله تم من كل شيطان و هام ها ومن كل عين عين من كل عين. لامة. Alright. Give you the translation. If it's masculine. If it's a man, أعيدك. If it's a woman, أعيدك. Right? أعيدك. Alright. And you can even say it to yourself. Say it to yourself. That you seek the fusion of Allah Azza wa Jalla from the shaitan, from every devil, vermin, poisonous animal, from every poisonous animal, and from every envious eye. From every envious eye, which is the evil eye. من كل عين وعيدك بكلمات الله تام من كل شيطان. من كل شيطان وهامة. من كل شيطان. شيطان is the devil. وهامة. And every poisonous animal, something that may hit you. وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّ. And from every envious eye. Envious eye. So this, if you could recite, you know, this ruqya on your children in the morning or before they go to sleep. Huh? Or better yet, also morning, evening. And let's say if you're taking them out. If you're taking them out to see guests, let's say. Before they go and see the guests, recite this ayah, this ruqya on them. So that people will not hit them with the evil eye. Especially, mashallah, if they're looking nice and dressed up, really nice and cute. You know, you don't want them to be hit with this evil eye. Recite this ruqya on them. Inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jal will protect them. Bi-idhnillah. U'iduka or u'iduki. If it's a girl, u'iduki. If it's a boy, أعيدك. أعيدك بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة. Slow down. طيب يا أخي. We'll put it in the form as well. أعيدك بكل أعوذك بكلمات الله التامة بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين ومن كل عين 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 is eye عين لامة. Everybody with me. أعيدك بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة. Memorized.
It's like the same like أعوذ with
that. أيوة أعوذ أعوذ. Seek refuge. أعوذ أعوذ. Is أعوذ. Here أعوذك. So I'm seeking Allah's refuge on your behalf, from you, for you, from the shaitan, from the envious eye, and from the any animal that's poisonous, anything that may sort of hit you or bite you, and from the envious eye. طيب. And this, inshallah ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, will end this series of the world of the jinn. A quick recapitulation. We talked about this world. We talked about the jinn. We talked about their creation. We talked about their things that attract them. We talked about their dwellings. We talked about things that attract them. We talked also about types of witchcrafting, kinds of witchcrafting, the signs of witchcrafting, black magic, the signs of a witchcrafter or the one who practices black magic. And we talked about some of the cure of black magic regarding what? Two things. Regarding infertility and regarding separation. And we talked about the cure from generic black magic. And we also talked about the safeguarding. We talked about safeguarding. And at the end, we talked about the evil eye. And that is haqq, it is true. Something called evil eye is really true. And how to protect oneself from it. My brothers and sisters, the aim again is not to alarm you. To alarm you, of course. But not to frighten you with something called jinn. People, they tend to be scared from something called jinn. But as I promised you in the beginning, I said by the end of this series, you should be really comfortable with something called jinn. In fact, you should be pleased and happy that if a Muslim jinn will come to enter your home, you will welcome somebody called a Muslim jinn to come and enter your home. So this was actually the aim. The aim is that you get to know this world and know what things that attract them and how you protect yourself from them. Not to be scared. No, I think from now on, khalas, huh? Scared? No, would you? Sleep by yourself, of course, right? You don't have to sleep with the lights on, would you? Lights on, what would you do before going to sleep? Ayatul Kursi, make wudu, and then challenge the jinn. Huh? Challenge the jinn. I have made wudu, and I read Ayatul Kursi. Come you jinn. No, don't do that. Because that would bring some pride. Put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Resort to Allah. Take the means. This is the means. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can harm you. Because it is only Allah Azza wa Jal who can protect. And it is only Allah who can harm. Nobody can. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ was hit by some sihr, by black magic. And he became sick. And he saw a dream. Jibreel came to him. And he told him this witchcrafting was performed by such and such man. A sahir. And the sihr is in this well. And the Prophet ﷺ, he sent Ali and a couple other sahaba like Zubair and another sahabi. He sent them to this well. And they digged and withdrew the sihr, this black magic thing. And then they brought it to Prophet ﷺ. They brought it to Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet opened it, recited some ayat, some verses, like the verses of the Ruqya. And then he burned them. And subhanAllah, this hadith says, the Prophet stood up like a horse, when that horse is chained, cannot move, right? And a horse that's chained. But as soon as you unchain the horse, what happens? The horse just jumps and goes and stop galloping, right? That's how the Prophet ﷺ, subhanAllah, came out. Likewise, the Sahabi who recited the Fatiha on that man who was hit by a snake, right? Bitten by a snake. He just went and recited Fatiha. That's why the Fatiha is called the Ruqya. Or Shafiya. Ruqya. The Fatiha is called one of the names of Fatiha, like Sab'al Mathani, Al-Quran Karim. No, Al-Fatiha is one of the names, of its names is Ruqya. He only recited Al-Fatiha. And subhanAllah, the man again just stood up and the hadith says, like he was unchained, like a horse unchained. Yes, black magic can happen. But you know how to protect yourself. And even if you protect yourself with things, and then maybe if it's to happen to you, may Allah forbid, it's nothing but a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. Somebody better than you got hit with it. Who's better than you? Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal and use the means. These are the means that I've shared with you today. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to help us all to practice and to convey. I'm sorry if I have made this quite lengthy, but there's a lot of material that we needed to cover, and I wanted really to cover as much as I could. If you have any questions, Bismillah, let's start the questions. Bismillah. Bismillah. Okay, as I mentioned, how do I know that the person is giving the evil eye? Like the hadith of Sahal ibn Hunayf, I mentioned earlier, and Amr ibn Rabi'ah. The Sahabi was taking a bath, and the other guy in front of the Sahaba was saying, beautiful skin. And the man fell sick right away. On the spot, he fell sick, and he fell down. He couldn't, they had to lift him, to sort of lift him up. So that we know it's the evil eye, for sure. Somebody's walking and everybody's saying, oh, look at that person, subhanAllah, he's walking nice or whatever. And then that person feels, he fails. He just fell. He fell. Could be also from the evil eye. It happened to me, subhanAllah. I had nothing. I was going to work out. And then these guys were sitting, just sitting. I was just going to, in my workout, hit the bag. And all of a sudden, my neck, I could not move my neck. I had nothing, subhanAllah. I don't know, it could happen that maybe they've said something and whatnot. I had to go back. I couldn't work out that day. I have a friend of mine as well, a very close relative of mine, coming out from his car, and from the edge of his eye, from the corner of his eye, he could see because he was driving a very fancy car. As he stepped out from the car, and he wanted to make one step. He made the first step. And as he wanted to make the second step from the corner of his eye, he could see some people looking at him and talking. He says, wallahi, I could not make the second step. He couldn't. He failed. What is it? Could be that these people said something, right? These are some of the signs. Signs of somebody who's been hit maybe by the evil eye. When you recite the Quran, you're yawning. I didn't mention this, but you may take notes. If you yawn as you recite the Quran a lot, somebody who just is okay. But as soon as you recite the Quran, you start yawning. Yawning. You know what yawning is, right? And you cannot stop. You cannot stop, subhanAllah. You just want to, stop it, but you just can't. Most likely that's you're hit by hasad, by evil eye. Try to follow the directions given in this presentation. Or there's so many books I mentioned last week, a couple books. And you may also contact people who, experts in this field to try to, inshallah ta'ala, try to help you. Yes, one from the sisters.
Okay. There's a practical example here. This sister had magic done on her to stop her from getting married. She went to the ship. Various sheikhs, and one sheikh read on her for 7 weeks, and now has given her this to wear. We cannot open it.
No, we're not gonna. Oh, yeah, we can, but subhanAllah, look. You see, the sheikh gave her this
to wear. Yeah.
To wear.
Yeah.
Subhanallah.
Can you open it,
sheikh? Actually, when you open it, you'll see some stuff, and there's some ayah that we need to recite. You recite the same ayah mentioned here. And then you burn it, or you put it in this water, a vessel of water, and then you just recite this ayat, and then you see the ink coming out. But subhanAllah, it's all here. You see, they put it in this, and then they put it, and they put some plastics, and then they cover it in plastic, and they cover it and keep covering it, and then at the end, you just see a small piece of paper with some gibberish that you cannot read.
Can you just put it on the camera so the sisters can also see?
Well, they came from the sisters. Oh, it came from the sisters.
Where do you safeguard
from the sisters?
This is from the sisters.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Go on. The ayat you mentioned for safeguard, if you want to read it to the children or somebody who is very sick and cannot read or is unconscious,
no.
How will you do that? Just read it and blow on it?
Just like I mentioned, the water or the oil or the honey, and then you read those verses. Exactly how I said, and you keep on doing that daily basis until they feel right. And also remember the generic black magic. You tape this ruqya on a tape and listen to it. Three times a day. This is a long process. Three times a day, not forgetting the other verses that I mentioned. In the presentation, like a Safat and some other verses. From the sisters.
Question from the sisters. All the ruqya that you've talked about, is it better for the person to do it on himself or herself, or is it better to seek an expert.
Now, is it better to seek an expert or to do it on yourself? You can do it on yourself if you like. Naam, you can do it on yourself. But if it's something, depending on the case, there's some cases that are really so hard and you need to seek the expert of or the advice or maybe seek help of an expert. But you can definitely, ruqya, you can perform on yourself, provided that you know what you're doing. Provided that you know that, actually you are religiously committed, sound, you're doing your prayers, or you may hurt yourself. You may even harm yourself if you don't know what you're doing, right? So if you know what you're doing, yes, you could do it to yourself, or you may seek help of an expert. You missed that last week.
Sorry?
You missed it last week. Were you here last week? Oh, you were not here last week. The story for that woman, they could not bury her. They did not know. So they asked her son. Her son was on TV. Because every time they tried to dig, they could not dig the earth. And the earth, subhanAllah, became so hard they couldn't dig. And then they changed spots several times. They still couldn't dig, you know. And then they just, you know, put the rocks on her and then burn her. And then her son came at the end, you know, on TV. He was reciting in the story. And then he said that actually my mother was, she used to practice witchcrafting and she used to, you know, he saw her own mother, urinating on the Quran. We don't mention countries here, my brothers, okay.
What do you have to say on this?
Like I said, my brother, I think, I don't know if you, maybe you misunderstood or maybe some of the things I've mentioned here skipped you. We said that, na'am, it is only, everything that happens with the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, and nothing can happen without the permission of Allah. If Allah wills that this will happen to you, it will. If Allah wills that nothing will happen to you, nothing will. So if Allah wills that you will have a baby, you shall have that baby. But when, maybe Allah wants to test you first by some jinn or some harm or something until you, to expiate your sins, or maybe to come back and return to Him. And after that, He will bless you with a baby. Allah Azza wa Jal knows. So, and this, remember the ayah that I mentioned in the beginning, the ayah, وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. The sahir will be, you know, will be a loser. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُبْطِلُهُ. In the other ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُبْطِلُهُ. That this sihr that you guys has brought, Allah Azza wa Jal will waive it. Allah will waive it. So these people that are maybe possessed or that been hit by some sort of sihr, it only happened with the will of Allah. And we mentioned last week some of the reasons. Maybe they are away from Allah Azza wa Jal. Maybe this woman who was so much far away from Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah wanted to test her. Maybe this person who is unkind to his parents. Remember some of the items we mentioned last week. So because of some sin that this person is doing, Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to test that person for some reason. And then maybe after the test, if that person passes the test or whatnot, and it's all happened with the will and permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if this person passes the test, all the sins will be expiated, and then whatever happens later on, like you said, you know, kids, if Allah Azza wa Jal wills that this person would have kids, na'am, it will. There's so many people, for so many years they've been trying to have kids and they have no medical problems whatsoever, but Allah Azza wa Jal hasn't blessed them yet with kids. Why? Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran explains it really beautifully. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who blesses you with kids, you know, male, female, and make some of you make some of you infertile, is it? The world, you know. So it is, again, you know, it is Allah Azza wa Jal. Even the angel wouldn't know. Even the angel comes in this hadith in Bukhari as well. When the angel comes, when Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, in this womb of a mother, he goes to Allah Azza wa Jal, Oh Allah, is it male or female? And then he goes back. He says, Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, And then after the male or female, and then how long that person will live, and how long will that person live, what would that person eat, and all the sustenance, everything will be written in the womb of the mother before that person even, you know, comes into life. Subhanallah, everything has been decreed for that person, and how long that person will live, and what, you know, all the harm and everything that that person would, subhanallah, and the joy that that person will even encounter or endure or whatnot, you know, everything gets written and decreed in the womb of the mother. So this does not contradict what you said, and does not contradict this saying of the jinn, or the fact that this person gets possessed. It could definitely be either a test or maybe an expiation of some sort of sin that that person has done. I just said it could either be because of your actions, or it could be for a test. Either or. You know, it could be because somebody's doing something wrong and Allah Azza wa Jalla is punishing that person. Or it could be from a test, that Allah Azza wa Jalla just wanted to test that person to elevate him or her. The Prophet ﷺ, he was hit by black magic. What was it? A test for the Prophet ﷺ? Or maybe an example for us? An example for us, definitely, huh? Sisters.
Can a Muslim take help from jinn in cases of distress? I give an example of a child that was kidnapped and the jinn actually told them where it was. The child wasn't found.
Can a person seek help from jinn? We were asked this last week, and we replied and we answered that, yani, there are certain people who claim that they bring jinn so that, you know, to sort of help them. This kind of help is actually, again, Allah Ta'ala alam, but again, anybody, any sahir who must have a contract with the jinn, as we mentioned, and we indicated that clearly. They have to have some sort of contract with the jinn. The jinn will not come and help you just for the beauty of your eyes. Either the jinni will, you know, if it's a non-Muslim jinni, of course, he will try to ask you to perform some, or to do some action that lead to kufr, for that jinn to help you. So here in this case, I may maybe understand that maybe they were performing ruqya, and then that person's jinn maybe, you know, talked, and they were asked of where the lost person is, and then he maybe guided them as to where that person was, and they found the person who was lost. The Ahl al-Ilm, they said that these jinnis also, they are liars, not to believe them. They are liars. They should not be believed, anything they said. So I wouldn't trust, and I wouldn't, you know, work with people that have, subhanAllah, deals or relationship with jinns. In fact, like I said, what we do here, we do with the Qur'an and the Sunnah. We perform ruqya with Qur'an and the Sunnah. We don't seek help from no jinn. We seek help from Allah Azza wa Jal. Somebody got lost, I seek help from Allah Azza wa Jal. Performing the ruqya and seeking the help of Allah, reciting the ahadith, reciting the ayat that we have mentioned, and reciting the ahadith and asking Allah Azza wa Jal for help. Wallahu ta'ala alam. As far as, you know, seeking help from jinns and whatnot, this is not prescribed and not encouraged. And in fact, it might even lead, wal'iyadu billah, to kufr. You already asked the question before, no? Christians, in fact, you know, this could also happen. Na'am, like I said, there are jinn who are Muslim and jinn who are non-Muslims that get possessed by, you know, that people that get possessed by jinn that are Muslims or jinn that are non-Muslims. And these black magic could be performed by non-Muslims as well, you know, Christians or Jews or Sikhs or whatnot. So this all could happen. In fact, we had a case of non-Muslim being hit, you know, being possessed, and we had to make him sign a consent. Again, I don't do this no more. I don't do it. I was watching people who do this. It's actually, it takes a lot of time, and you need people to really just commit themselves to such a thing. And I don't have time for it. So, in fact, we had to make that person sign a consent. And subhanAllah, this person who was actually sick and possessed by a non-Muslim jinni, In fact, alhamdulillah, we were able to remove the and kick out the the jinni of that person. And then, yes, it was caused by a non-Muslim, some sort of priest or whatnot, caused him to have this that cast. So it could happen, right? And how to protect yourself? It's go back to that presentation. You can use the some of the tools mentioned. During like the Christians, they like they do some sort of their own exorcism to remove the jinn off of. Well, that's their maybe they could. I don't know. Allahu a'lam. I didn't study that part, but maybe they could. And if they could, I gather that maybe the jinn will come back again. If it's not done properly, if it's not done with the, through the Quran and the Sunnah, it might come back. And chances are that we've seen so many times that actually these in some cases they do come back. So they have to be performed, properly. I have no idea, my brother. Just please focus with me. I'm answering your question. I have no idea. If whether this thing works or not, basically if this exorcism works or not, I cannot really answer this. But I can only because my expertise is with the ruqya shar'iyya, the ruqya as per the shar'i rule. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Okay, khala.
Temporarily, it worked.
No, khala, sahi.
And then after that, the husband and the wife, they repented, they realized that it was a mistake, and they started to contact the person, that expert, for retrieving of that photo. But that person, that expert, was showing some concern that he couldn't find it. But the husband and the wife, they have repented, and they have realized that it's a mistake.
Okay. Right. La ilaha illallah. Jazakallah khair. Okay. So the brother is asking, that about a couple who previously approached somebody who practices witchcrafting, and he asked them to provide him with a picture. They provided him with a picture, but now later on they have repented, realizing that the fact that what they've done is not correct, and they. Okay. Right. Okay, I understood, because I've got so many people and I need to go, so we need to try to expedite this. I understand. And they repented and they've asked for their pictures back, and the guy claimed that he couldn't find it. I would advise them to keep seeking, that man to give him that picture back, and I'll try as much as they can, and protecting themselves with the safeguard. We've mentioned here. What can they do? Can they can only resort back to Allah Azza wa Jal, asking Allah Azza wa Jal to protect them and to help them. And try to get the picture back.
And during the course of this discussion, it was found that expert is seeking the help of Muslim jinn.
Khalas, akhi. Yeah, it's fine. The Muslim jinn, he's still seeking help from a jinn. There are a lot of people who do so. They claim again that I'm only seeking help from a Muslim jinn. Brother, let me just give you an advice here. These people who claim, for now, I'm only seeking help from a Muslim jinn, their aqibah, their ending turns out to be, something that is not good. Right? It turns out to be something not good, in the future. So please be aware that these people who claim that I'm only seeking help from a Muslim jinn, yaakhi, the Prophet never seeked help from a Muslim jinn. The Sahaba, that's what the Prophet gave us, yaakhi, the ruqya. He gave us the ayat and he gave us the hadith. Why should I keep and leave the ayat and the hadith and go to a Muslim jinn? Oh no, I'm still doing the ayat and the hadith, but at the same time I'm seeking help from a Muslim jinn. Tayyib, yaakhi, then there'll be no barakah in this ayat and hadith. Follow the Rasulullah, follow the Quran and the Sunnah, and stay away from this gibberish. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. No, the sisters first. No.
if we suspect somebody has been hit by a sihr, but he doesn't believe it or she doesn't believe it herself, is there a, can we make ruqya for the person without them knowing?
Okay, so they think that the somebody has been possessed or something, but that person does not believe in that. Okay, and should they perform ruqya on that person without them knowing? They can if they know how. It's very important if they know how, and if that person lets them, actually perform the ruqya on them. Because again, here's the trick: there are certain people who are, let's say, the people who are possessed. You don't go and tell them, I'm going to do ruqya on you. Remember what I told you last week with that kid who actually ran away from us several times. And we had to go and follow him and search for him. And they wouldn't want you to perform the ruqya on them. You have to trick them. You have to, recite the ruqya on that water. And then, and trick him to drink that water. Don't tell him that this is water, it's been, there's ruqya on it, go and drink it. No, they will not. There are certain people who will come to you. They know, because again, like I talked about different kinds of witchcrafting. There are people who will come to you and tell you, could you please, I think I'm sick, do ruqya on me. And there are others who would not accept. There are cases, there are some that are severe, and some that are maybe not, depending on the case again. So you would go and try, and if they can, if that person lets them, perform the ruqya, yeah, please do go and do it, and perform it. Sometimes this thing goes away. I don't know. But they hear me? But they cannot hear me? This is oh boy. Okay.
What is the Sharia ruling on a person who goes to a black magician to get his stuff done?
Okay, the ruling is as per the hadith of the Prophet, his prayer will not be accepted for even he goes and he believes him. For 40 days, no salah, nothing will be accepted from that person. As per the hadith, and the hadith is actually in all the Ahl al-Sunnah reported this hadith.
And secondly, you said that the Muslim jinns like to live in houses of pious Muslims.
Yeah.
But I think I read somewhere that the jinns as a whole were commanded to stay away from human beings. Is that?
They stay away from human beings, na'am. But like I said, there are some believers from the jinn, that live in places like, al-haram, like masajid, places that... that where the name of Allah has been mentioned. So these are the believers jinn. These are the jinn that do not harm people. There are others who harm. So those, you know how to protect yourself from them. There are others who do not harm. These are the believers from the jinn. And they like to live in places where there is a remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. In fact, there's some books that talk about this as well. Once these jinn become Muslim, and then the guy who's performing the ruqya, the sheikh who's performing the ruqya, tells them to go and live with the believer jinn and to leave the kafir jinn, go and live with them. What are they? Oh, go live with them. They're in this masjid or that masjid, or maybe even the haram, and go and live with your believer jinn. You'll be, you'll be safe there. So in that sense,
this is asking about hadith about people who enter Jannah without hisab.
Yeah, ruqya. We talked about this last week. We talked about the ruqya last week.
If somebody recites ruqya all the time, and whenever they do it, they feel their body shivering all the time. It's a sign that
yes. Maybe. Okay, when it comes back. Yeah, let's do it, brother. Before the one question is Na'am akhi.
Sometimes the people, they say that the hidden being souls wonder.
A human being?
After the death, the soul's wonder.
No.
What do you call this phenomenon? Is it
true? Ya akhi, we go by what the Quran and the Sunnah say. The Quran says, when the soul dies, khalas, it goes up in the hadith, and then to the heavens if it's a believer soul, and then it comes back to its grave and waits. There is no such a thing as these movies, right? What did I say the first time last week? In the very beginning, I said there is a myth. The myth about this jinn, they look different, they look with this, and they've tails, and they look ugly, and there's a soul, and there's the soul that goes out, and you hear noises, and you hear this and that. This is all, a myth which is untrue. So there's the fact that the soul goes and wanders. We have the Quran, alhamdulillah, that explains where the soul goes. Now that this thing is working, I want to go back and answer the question about quickly.
Somebody makes a makes ruqya all the time and they
shiver. Somebody makes ruqya all the time and they shiver. They feel like the body shivers. That's Allahu A'lam, that's a sign. That's a sign maybe that person is maybe hit by some sort of black magic. They should keep doing that ruqya. They should keep performing the same course of action that they're doing. And if they can pursue maybe help from some expert, that'd be also great, inshallah ta'ala. From the sisters before, because this is still working. Khalas, yalla. Qareen. Qareen, akhi. If Qareen is the one who is Muslim and non-Muslim. You know, the Qareen, the one that lives with you, right? He writes down and everything, you know, the one. The Prophet ﷺ's Qareen, he was able to make him a Muslim. And he was able to make him a Muslim to the extent that he said, Alhamdulillah, he's not, you know, able to deviate or harm or cause any harm to the Prophet ﷺ, right? So the same, sometimes when you sleep, right? And then you feel like, you want to talk, but you can't. You want to scream, but you can't. That happens a lot, huh? You want to do something, and then, what's going on? It could be that your qareen actually is holding you or something, you know, causing, trying to. So that's the fact about the qareen. It's a jinn. It's a shaykh. There could be, yeah, any. From, the qareen, yeah. Qareen could be Muslim or the non-Muslim. Nah. Yes.
The ins.
Nah. Not the ins.
Jinn and humans, right?
No.
The sahar.
The sahar. Yeah, the one that practices black magic, yeah.
Now, I understand that if a Muslim or supposedly Muslim person, he wants to make you turn kufr or turn kafir. What's the benefit in it for the jinn if you are already a kafir? Because many kafirs that do sahar and black magic.
Right. Interesting question. Was the benefit of having a contract between, let's say, David Copperfield and such and such jinn? That contract is actually written, even if it's kafir, you're going to do certain things for me while I do certain things for you.
How would the jinn know? What's the benefit?
Whatever. I mean, the jinn, okay, he needs that person to go and perform certain, let's say, because Allahu A'lam, they need that person to go and perform certain sacrifice on certain filthy places. That person is already kafir, but they make them do other stuff. Allahu A'lam, I mean, do they benefit from what they're doing? Na'am, it could be that they are, but definitely there's some sort of contract. I did not pursue or maybe dig in so much to understand why there's a contract between a kafir who's already a kafir and a jinn, you know, who's trying to serve this kafir. Wallahu ta'ala, from our experience and what we know, that they are serving them somehow. They're helping them somehow. So they write a contract that you will do certain things for us while we do certain things for you. And this contract will be signed and witnessed by that contract that I showed last time. Apparently it was signed, or I mean, it was a contract between four jinns and one person, and one sahir. That I will get all kinds of help. Because this qabilat of jinn, they are different qabail, like humans. They're different qabail, different tribes. Some are more powerful than others. And then in these tribes, they have also leaders. There's a leader jinn, and there's a servant jinn, or subservient jinn. So again, if you were to catch, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, again, these kind of people who practice black magic, they like to write, you know, and sign contracts with jinn that have the utmost power, you know, the utmost power so that they can serve them. But I cannot really answer the question as what benefit would it be from a non, you know, a non-Muslim jinn with a non a Muslim sort of human writing that contract? I really can, you know, I cannot really answer that question. I mean, I don't know what the benefit would be, but I know for sure that there's definitely contracts in there between them. طيب خلاص طيب إن شاء الله تعالى زاك الله خير خلاص بارك الله فيكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. There is the brother, he will be giving inshallah some announcements, but please. Again, remember, this is the thing, it's all about the safeguarding here. The PowerPoint, the presentation will be, inshallah ta'ala, uploaded online. I advise you strongly, my brothers and sisters, please go back and review it. and try to study it really well, and also teach it to others, especially the part about the safeguarding on how to protect yourselves. You know, from I mentioned again, it's all from the hadith of Sahih of the Prophet ﷺ. It's all the Quran and the Sunnah. Try to memorize those hadith. Try to memorize those ad'iya. It's for your own benefit, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah Azza wa Jalla help us to practice and to convey. Jazakumullah khair.